God's word is filled with power and it's settled forever. It is his part of our prayer life. And we've been talking about basing our prayer lives on God's word, basing what we say to God on what he has already said to us. Let me share this in a little different way than what we've talked about it. What would you do if you had an appointment? Let's say you had an appointment next Thursday with the mayor of the city of New York, or with the governor of your state, or with the president of the United States, any high authority and official, and you were going there on official business. If you're going to see the governor, if you're going to see the president, let's say you're going to see the governor of the state of Texas, and you're going to talk to him about Texas business. It's state business that you're going to talk to him about, but it's also your personal business. You're a resident of the state, and it has to do with the state of Texas, but it has to do with you and your life and so forth and so on. Now, how would you approach the governor of the state? Would you just say, I know what I need to do. I need to go talk to the governor about this and go through all that it takes to get an appointment with the governor and get his ear and get his precious time allotted to you. And then you come into to his office and you fall down on the floor in front of the desk and you start beating the front of his desk with your fist. Oh, I gotta have this. Oh, you gotta do this. You gotta do that. Oh, I don't ever have anything. I don't ever get anything. Blah, 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 blah. Can you picture what the governor of the state of Texas or the governor of whatever state you live in? Can you imagine what the administrator of the minister of New South Wales or wherever you happen to be, in Calgary, or wherever. Can you imagine what he must think? He looks over his desk and he says, "Dear Lord, what's the matter with you? Get up from there. Call the guy in, you know, at the door. Say, hey, who let this fool in here? What is this? He's beating on my desk with his fist. What's the matter with you?" Well, and then you get up and they carry you out, you know. And you get outside and say, "Well, you know, I guess requests to the governor have passed away. He doesn't answer anymore. He doesn't listen anymore." Well, I don't blame him. I mean, anybody over 7 or 8 years old, you know, that acted that way in his office, I mean, it hadn't passed away. He's just flabbergasted at this act, this tantrum that's going on in the floor out of a grown man. Well, you know, I mean, I exaggerated that point a little bit, but I wanted to get over to you in your thinking. Now, what would you do? Well, I'm going to go talk to the governor about this situation. I'm going to go talk to him about this problem. I'm going to go talk to him, and he's given me audience. What I need to do is do some homework here and some research. I'm going to have an attorney that helps me here. And tell me about the legal aspect of it. If there's documents on it in the library or in the courthouse or wherever, I'm going to go find everything the law has to say about it. I want to find out what he said about it. If I can find out where he said anything about this in a campaign promise. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, boy, in these days of videotape, I want you to know this videotape I mean, you go making promises on this stuff and that videotape will come back to haunt you one of these days, I'm telling you. And if I can find videotape where the governor of the state had made a promise concerning what I'm going in there to talk about, I'm not going in there and kick the back of his desk and scream and bawl and squall and hope he'll fall down the floor and bawl and squall with me and maybe give me what I want just because he feels sorry for me. That doesn't have anything to do with it. That is completely out of order. What I want to do is find out what the governor has already said and what the law of the land says about it. Now, when we're talking to God, that is the highest official of the land. That is the God over the household of faith. That's my Father, but He's also my God. And I go to God concerning things of His kingdom, concerning my life in this kingdom, where Colossians chapter 1 says to give thanks to God, who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and has already translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So I'm already resident of that kingdom. I already am living here. The Bible said He'll meet my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to this kingdom of the earth or the kingdom of darkness, but according to His riches in glory. I'm already a citizen of that kingdom. That's the kingdom that I live in. And my Heavenly Father is the God over that kingdom. And what He's already said in His word is the law of that kingdom. And He never changes and neither does His word. If there's any changing that has to be done, the finger points to me. If there's any changing that's going to be done, the finger points to Satan and all the realm of darkness. If there's any changing going to be done, it's going to change me. It's going to change my body. It's going to change these circumstances. It's going to change the devil and every demon of hell, but not God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That unchangeableness is in my favor and in your favor, not against us. So, I find out first what He's already said about it. Well, to just make it simple, I just base my prayer life on what He's already promised. The way I found that campaign promise that governor made while he's on the campaign trail, I just say, Governor, you know, you said on April the 1st at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so on, you're going to do say you promised to do that, and I'm here about that because that's where I live. And here's what the law says about it, such, and here's another place right here. The law says this about it. It's pretty obvious here that the law of the land is in my favor about this, and you said it was, and I've come here to ask you and to seek your face concerning this, and I know you'll do what's right. Well, God's not a man that He should lie. There is no injustice in God. And when I present God's word to Him and I say, here's what Jesus bought and paid for, and Jesus is my Lord and He's my Savior, and I'm here before You, Heavenly Father, having therefore these promises dearly beloved, so on. So here's my prayer, and I believe I receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, what we're centering up on here and what we're talking about is not just praying those faith words based on this word of faith. God's word is our word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We don't just pray based on this word. We pray based on it, and then we believe based on it, and we walk our daily lives based on it. We act as though it's true. We act as though it's done. We act as though God heard us. The Bible said His eyes are open unto the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. The Word simply says in 1 John that we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him when we ask according to His will. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, how can I be sure what His will is? He didn't will one thing and promise another in His Word. He's no respecter of persons. But like I said, when you find here in the Word of God, it says, do this, do that, do this. You better do this, do that, and do this. And you expect God to do what He said He'd do. Amen. So everything, our thinking, our action, and our words should be in line with and not contradictory to God's written Word. Now, what will be the result of that? A development of faith, a stronghold of faith, a release of faith, and the planting of the seeds of faith by speaking words of faith and acting not contrary to it, but in line with it. Then that gives the faith that I have applied to this mountain or whatever, that gives the faith that I've applied there and planted an opportunity to grow, not only on the inside of me and strengthen me, but it is out there doing its work against that mountain where Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. He shall have whatsoever he says. Praise God. Or what? Believe in your words. Develop faith in the words that come out of your mouth. Now, when Jesus said that, he was talking about a fig tree. He had been to Bethany. He had been, first of all, to the temple, went to Bethany, stayed all night, and had walked past this fig tree, and he went over to it to seek figs on it, and he spoke to it, and the Bible says that that the rest of them heard him. I mean, he spoke to the thing loud enough, didn't talk to God about it, he talked to the tree. And he said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. Now they went on to the temple, came back. Peter, or no one else, said a word about that tree. Why? There was no sign of it withering yet. But all that time, what Jesus had released, the Bible said later that it dried up from the roots. All that time, his words and the power in them were working in the roots of that tree, but had not shown up yet out in the leaves of the tree. Now, this is so vitally important because a lot of people negate their faith and lose it while it's in the root because they can't see it in the leaves. It didn't go through the leaf, down the branch, and into the root. It went to the root first. Now then 24 hours later, they came back by there and Peter said, "Woo! Look at that tree, you cursed." And Jesus said, "Have the faith of God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain." Now, in one of the other Gospels, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew recorded Jesus' words like this. Here's what he heard, where Jesus said, "You shall not only do that which was done to this fig tree, but if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed." So he's talking about this literal physical world as well as the spiritual realm. Of course he's talking spiritually, but he's talking about a spiritual release with a natural result in moving natural things, in moving mountainous problems in your life, spiritual and also physical. If you can't do anything about it spiritually, you're not going to do anything about it physically. That faith had to stay alive and not be withdrawn for that tree to wither in that 24-hour period of time. Now, had Jesus come back by there, or if he'd have been, you know, he never would have done this, but somebody else might. There's a time in my life, and I would have, time when you would have, a moment of weakness or just not knowing any better or whatever, where you'd walk back by there and looked at that tree and said, "Well, You know, I guess I don't work anymore like the Bible said to. I did that with all my heart. I heard Brother Jesus preach on it, but you know, maybe it works for him, don't work for me. I don't know, but it's pretty obvious here. Ain't nothing happened. I said it with all my heart. I just said it with everything I had. I guess, you know, that's just that Copeland bunch and the Hagen bunch and the Charles Capps bunch and them. That, I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, keep blabbing around that unbelief until you negate your own faith and bring it back. Not realizing that Jesus is not talking about just the fig tree moment when you spoke to that, but he said in the next verse, 24th verse, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. He's talking about our words all the time. Now, I want to get into something here that we haven't touched, but just kind of around the edges of. I want to introduce it to you right now. We're praying words of faith. We're speaking words of faith that correspond to that all of the moments of all of the days of our lives, every moment of every day. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I'm going to sound like a fool. I go over there. These folks can look at me and tell me something's wrong. And go, I'm going to look like a fool when I go over there and I'm talking this. And I've heard people say, now I want to know what's really going on. I don't want to hear one of them faith confessions. I want to know reality. Brother, let me tell you something. God's word is reality. It was God's word in the beginning that created everything you call in real. As one man said to me one time, he said, I didn't want to confess I was sick. I just got so sick I had to. Well, brother, let me tell you something. You've never realized that your confession of God's word of healing will build a stronghold of healing in your life and is more real than sickness and disease. And I'm not saying that sickness and disease is not real, but there is something more real than real itself, and it's God's word in the heart of and in the mouth of a believer. If you cannot believe that your words come to pass, you can't and don't have any right to believe that you're saved. Now put that in your purse and swing it a couple of times. Because the Bible said confession is made unto salvation. Now, you stood there and confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You stood right there and for the last umpteen years you've been saying you're born again. Yes, amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Are you saved? Oh, yes, amen. But I don't believe in that blab it, grab it, and blam, 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 blam stuff. Ah, blah, 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 blah. Our church don't believe in that. Why? Well, you can't depend on that. Don't work. It just worked for you. What do you mean? You're getting what you say. But you don't have any right to claim you're saved if you don't believe your words come to pass. And if you believe salvation words came to pass, I'd like to know why your words worked in that miracle and won't work in some other. Has God changed or something? No, 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 no. So, I want us to realize that words are the seeds of reality. Words, listen now, words spoken to Mary, the virgin girl, words spoken to her and entering into her heart, she pondered them in her heart, were the very seed to the flesh of Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Now, I want to read something to you from the New Testament in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Now, listen to this carefully. There's something here that we've missed We've missed it in our spiritual lives almost totally, and some of us not totally, but still we're walking in areas of darkness when we shouldn't be where this is concerned. I want you to listen to this now. For though, this is 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to major on that word strongholds. Pulling down of strongholds. Now listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge or against the word of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now we're talking about strongholds now. Listen to what he said. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. All right, now what are the weapons of our warfare? The helmet of salvation. How did you get that? By the confession of your mouth, because of what you believed in your heart. The breastplate of righteousness. How did you get that? The Bible said righteousness is by faith of Jesus Christ. Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, those that use milk are unskillful in the Word of righteousness. Being in right standing with God, being in a right place with God, comes from speaking words. The maintenance of it in our daily lives comes. The Bible said if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even the righteous, Jesus Christ, who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When? Did you answer it? When? When will he do that? What is the word concerning it? Right in that same first and second chapter of 1 John. Right there in that same scripture. What's he talking about? When we confess those sins. When we confess sin. Speak it with words. Well, what are we doing? Letting him find out we sinned? No, that's not why we confess them. When you confess that sin, wasn't when God found out about it. He knew about it all the time. When you confessed it with words, your words were the vehicle to spew that sin out of yourself. Yeah. So your words became more real and of a higher authority than the sin you committed. Now listen to that. Take hold of that. Salvation, righteousness. What about your loins girt about with what? The truth. What did Jesus say about the truth? He said, thy word is truth. So your loins are girt with God's words. What are your shoes? The Bible says that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, these are the stronghold pulling down weapons of our warfare. That our shoes, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel? Well, it's words, right? Yeah, it's the word of God preached. It is the word of God, but it's also something else. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, 16th verse, that the gospel is the power of God. Hallelujah. So what's he saying? He's saying you put God's words on your feet and you walk in power. You put God's words, you girt your loins with God's word. You got saved with God's words. The breastplate of righteousness is by faith, which is by words, and it's called the word of righteousness, and it's maintained by words of confession, the confession of sin and the confession of faith. What about the sword of the Spirit? The word of God. What about the shield of faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Apostle Paul said, the word of faith which we preach is nigh thee, even in your mouth. Praise God. No wonder Jesus said, for by your words are you justified, and by your words are you condemned. Strongholds, then, let me read that again. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the word of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are thoughts? Thoughts are words yet unspoken. Thoughts are the beginnings of words. Now, all this is tied up in here together. Let's go back over to the book of Mark. I want you to catch this. I want you to get the revelation of this, because this will change your life. And it'll change it. It'll begin to change it now, and it will continue to change it, and it'll bring your life into a place of victory and power and protection and joy and peace and all the good things of God, even though hell itself may be raging on every front. You can stand peaceful in the middle of it and rejoice, even when all men revile you and speak all manner of evil against you. You can just rejoice and fill your heart with God's words and just go right on and be victorious in it. Jesus said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, and with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it is sown, it grows up. Now, I want to talk about what happens when it grows up. It grows up and becometh greater. Now, think about this a minute. Jesus said, of the evil treasure of an evil man's heart, evil things come to pass. Of a good treasure of a good man's heart, good things come to pass. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whether it's good or bad, it's put together by the same instrument. The mouth, words continually spoken, words planted, words growing up as seeds and becoming. Now, our weapons that pull down strongholds are weapons built and used from God's word, from words. All right? Now think about this. Strongholds are not all that. When you say strongholds, I think probably because of that scripture and because of our majoring in the strongholds of the devil so much. If someone says strongholds, we automatically kind of think of the devil, and they all got to pull down. Now, it's not necessary to pull all strongholds down. I'm not going to pull down the stronghold of faith. I'm not going to pull down the stronghold of health and healing that I've built up in my life over a period of 20 years. And this is an area that most people have either didn't know about or have neglected or didn't realize, and certainly have not set out to build strongholds of righteousness and strongholds and develop strongholds of faith. We've allowed ourselves to build up strongholds of doubt and darkness and unbelief. So what we need to do is begin to realize that this seed plant harvest principle is both negative and positive. The evil treasure, the good treasure. It works in both ways. So what we must do then is fill our mouth with good things. Like the 103rd Psalm said, He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. We fill our mouth with good things, like the Bible says over in the book of Ephesians, and it says in the book of Colossians, that we fill our mouths, letting the Word dwell in us richly, causing the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Filling your mouth with good things, praise God. Whether you're singing it in psalms and singing in hymns and singing praises unto God. Oh, my God is so great. My God is so wonderful. My Lord, greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. Oh, thank God that I live in a body that's well. I live in the Spirit of the living God, and the Spirit of the living God lives in me. Bless His holy name. I forget not all of His benefits. What am I doing? I'm building strongholds. I'm building a stronghold for God. A stronghold of faith, a stronghold of life, their life to those that find them. What? The words of God. Hallelujah. I'm planting seeds, even though when I begin, they still may be little mustard seed like words because they're small. I've never done this before, but I just continue to plant them and build these strongholds, which in turn tear down these others. Casting down these imaginations that are exalted against God's Word. God's Word says I'm healed, but my mind and this pain and the devil and my kinfolks and everybody else is telling me how sick I am, and you don't need to be saying you're healed till after you get well. Well, if I'm not saying I'm healed till after I get well, what is there to cause me to be well? Jesus didn't walk away and say, well, as soon as that fig tree dies, I'm going to come back here and say, no man eat fruit of you again forever. That's like saying to the stove, give me some heat, and then I'll put in some wood. But if you don't give me some heat, I'm not going to give you any wood. No, the words are more powerful than the sickness or the disease if they're based on and being meditated in God's Word. And feeding on that instead of the word of the world. This is the reason you need to learn to surround yourself with strong teachings and preachings concerning faith and concerning who you are in Christ Jesus. You need somebody telling you day in and day out, everywhere, all the time, who you are in Christ. Not who you are in the eyes of the devil, not who you are in the world, but who you are in Christ Jesus. When I say I'm healed, I didn't say I was healed because I look like it or feel like it. I'm not saying I'm healed trying to get you to think I'm healed. If I was doing that, I'd be lying about it. I said I'm healed because that's my position in Christ Jesus. I said I'm healed because I'm building a stronghold of divine health in my life. I don't wait until something goes wrong with my body to go to God's Word to get the healing scriptures. Now, if for some reason or other something does get to my body and I get attacked, well, from time to time I do. Not all that often anymore, but from time to time I do. When that does happen, sure I go to the Word of God. But I want to remind you something. Let's apply this to that situation. Do you remember when they came to Jesus and said, we can't cast out this devil, and He said this one comes out by prayer and fasting? Yeah. But then Jesus turned right around and cast it out. Well, I mean, Jesus is no respecter of persons. God, no respecter of persons. If that comes out by prayer and fasting, Jesus doesn't have any right to cast it out without prayer and fasting any more than they do. That devil didn't have to mind Him because He's Jesus. Now you listen. That devil had to mind Him because He spoke the Word of God. The Bible said He cast out devils with His words. God's Word. That's hard on some people's theology, but it'll just have to be hard on it. Now, He didn't go fast and pray, however. He just turned around and cast it out. How could He do that? Now,
He'd already prayed and he'd already fasted. He stayed ready. He had a stronghold of fasting. He had a stronghold of prayer. How? Prayed all time. Got up early before day and prayed. Prayed all the time. Prayed all the time. He didn't have to be faced by a devil to make him go pray. He prayed before he ever met the devil. He prayed after he met the devil. He prayed all the time. He stayed prayed up. Amen. He fasted more than just that 40-day fast out there on the Mount of Temptation. Oh, yes, he did. Because the Bible said that his disciples came up to him and he hadn't been eating and he said to them, I have food that you don't know anything about. Amen. Now, he didn't, there's nothing there said anything about him going on another 40-day fast, and I don't believe he did that. That's not the point. The point is that he didn't wait until he ran into that spirit to go fast and pray or do anything else. He maintained that so that he had a stronghold of prayer. You know that when he prayed at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, I know you've already heard me. Well, the reason he'd already heard him is because he didn't wait to pray when he got to that graveyard. He's already prayed. He already knew what was going on. He already had a stronghold of prayer. He was already walking in it. He's already walking in the Word. And this is what you and I need desperately to learn how to do. We need to start our morning time filling our mouths with good things and praising God. This is the reason that I've learned over a period of years, and one of the reasons I do this is discipline for me. The things that I do in the natural anyway, certain things I do, now not everything, but certain things that I do, I have attached to that thing a confession of Scripture, confession of the Word. One of the most spiritual people I've ever known took one of those little label guns, and I'm telling you, you walk in that woman's kitchen, and she had Scripture all over the place. You couldn't get in the refrigerator without reading the Word of God. Some of you need to look up all the Scriptures on gluttony and put them on the door of the refrigerator. Uh-oh. Well, now, wait a minute. I'm telling you the truth. If you continue every time you sit down to the table, say, everything I see makes me fat, I just walk by a buffet down at the Holiday Inn and I just walk by there and gain 7 pounds. Now, it may be funny to you and it may be funny to the guy next to you, but then those nights that you lie in the bed and those nights that you're on your knees crying before God because you're 100 pounds overweight, and you're crying before God because you know your heart's suffering because of it, and you know your body's going through certain pains and things that are bad signals to you, and you know God doesn't appreciate you doing your body that way, and you fight the thing with every breath and there's nothing you can do about it. Why? You're combating a stronghold that's not fat. It's words. You're coming against a stronghold when you go in to teach your Sunday school class and you open your Bible and you've prayed and you worked hard and you studied to show yourself approved, and the very revelation that you got last Wednesday to teach on Sunday and you're thrilled with it and you open your Bible and it just flies away like a bird. And you stand there and you're not getting it out and you know it and you think, I don't understand this. But all week long, every time you sat down to the Bible, you said, oh, you know, I have such a hard time understanding the Bible. I have such a hard time understanding it. I wish I understood the Bible more. I wish I could teach the Bible more. Oh, I wish I understood the Bible. I wish I understood the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. Here's the book of Colossians, but I don't understand the Bible. There's the book of Philippians, but I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. Well, what kind of stronghold do you think you're coming against on Sunday morning with one little prayer before God when you got 38 years of standing up saying with your mouth and planting seeds of doubt and unbelief where the Bible says that you can have by strength in your inner man comprehension with all the saints? Praise God. God's very wisdom and knowledge belongs to you. You're standing there before your Sunday school class or before your church or before your family. I don't understand why my children don't understand me. I just can't communicate with my son or my daughter. Every time we sit down, I know what I was going to say, but I just can't get over to them. I just can't get through to them. I can't ever get through to them. I don't know how to get through to them. Oh, the kids of today. Oh, my. Oh, goodness me. Oh, sakes. Oh, me. Oh, my. Oh, God, I can't get through to my children. Oh, God, they won't listen to me. Oh, God, they don't have any respect for me. That kid is 18 years old, and you and the child both are coming against an 18-year stronghold of little seeds, one at a time. If you took a pipe, I don't care how big a pipe, I don't care how big the thing is, you continue to put one little grain of grit, one little grain of sand, one little grain of soot, one little grain of silt, one little grain of this, and one little grain of that, and one little grain of this, and you'll eventually wind up with a pipe about that big. It's still this big, but it's full of stuff. Put in there one grain at a time, and eventually it won't take but one more grain to fill it up. Now, that's like the channel between you and God's Spirit on grains of unbelief, grains of unforgiveness, grains or words that have been spoken over the years, one after another, after another, after another, and there's not anything God can do about it because it is His Word that said it would come to pass. His Word said words would build strongholds. His Word said words would grow up. His Word said seeds would come to pass. The only problem is it works on the negative ones the same as the positive ones, and instead of choosing God's Word, you went over here and got the words of the world and the words of the devil, and you're building a stronghold out of that, and you go to God and say, oh God, oh God, oh God, and reinforce the stronghold again. Now take the weapons of God and cast that stronghold down. Cast down the reasonings. Cast down the imaginations. However, now listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, please. It is never enough to just don't. You know what I mean with that? Now listen. You can't just quit doing this. You can't just consider not your body. You can't just quit that. You can't just quit saying that word. You have to say something else. You've got a sayer. Amen. You have a speaker. You have a tongue. You have a will. You have a mind. And you'd be out of line with God if you went the rest of your life and didn't say a word. Because you'll be responsible for the word of God not spoken as well as the word of the devil in unbelief that was spoken. Because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach and teach. Amen. So you're responsible to be a witness for Him and His word in your life. So now, don't just say, I'm going to tear that stronghold down. The scripture says that Abraham considered not his own body. I can't just consider not the body of my flesh. I have to take my consideration elsewhere. I can't just consider not because, this is not very good English, but it'll get my point across. I can't just consider not my body because I have a considerer in me. I have a considering mechanism and it's going to consider something. So the Word of God says in the book of Hebrews, consider Jesus. Consider Him. Don't just consider not your body. Replace that consideration with something greater than your body. I don't just consider not my body. I consider my body now dead to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus. I don't consider having no body. I consider my body alive unto God, to serve God. I don't just get rid of words. I replace them with God's words. And this is the reason it's so important to take the time to build strongholds out of the words of faith.
You put the scriptures on, like the lady I was telling you about, on the refrigerator, on the cabinet. When you went into the children's playroom, and their toy boxes and everything, she took that little label gun, you know, and put those scriptures on that toy box. When, if you lived in that house, every time you pulled a toy out of that box, you had to go by the Word of God to get there. And I've seen miracles in that household. I've seen God do great, marvelous, and mighty things. Now, I've learned to do this in my own life. As I told you, when I brush my teeth, I want you to know, sometimes as I brush my teeth, I always start off on the 103rd Psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who has forgiven all of mine iniquities." And I always go into the New Testament right after that and said, "All my sins are remitted and they're under the blood of Jesus." Glory to God. "He healed all my sickness and diseases, has taken all sickness and disease from the midst of me, crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies." Praise God. "And He fills my mouth with good things, that my youth is renewed like the eagles, and He judges righteously in my favor when I'm oppressed." And I, so many times by this time as I've gone through all of that, by now I'm putting my toothbrush back in the rack, and so much of the time, I walk then away from the lavatory there where I'm brushing my teeth, I put my toothbrush in the rack, and I turn around and I'm still going. I'm dressing to the 103rd Psalm. My shoes go on my feet, and I'm thinking, "Dear Lord, my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Praise God. You get started and you don't quit, and you hear yourself talking about, "I live in divine health, glory to God." You get to doing that, and that starts coming out your mouth. You can't speak all that doubt and unbelief out your mouth and talk like that at the same time. And by the time you get ready to go to the office or wherever it is that you're going at that time, by the time you get there, brother, you've lost sight of all those problems, all that doubt and unbelief. You're talking divine health and the blood of Jesus and hallelujah to God and blamity, blam, blam, blam. Boy, and the devil's saying, "Oh, no, not again, man. I wish he'd go back to bed." Oh, yeah. And now, over a period of years, the least thing happens. Anything can happen, whether it's some little old bitty something or some major disaster comes. When your mind just doesn't know what to say, and suddenly out of your spirit, because of a stronghold of faith built in there from these seeds of God's words that have been said day in, day out, moment in, moment out in your life, begin to burst forth out of your mouth when you didn't have to stop and think to get them to come out. In one of the worst, maybe the worst, air disasters in history, with two 747s ran together, and that one of them was on the ground, the other one was just taking off, and he tried to get it off of the ground to miss, and of course he was too slow to fly, really. And he pulled this thing off, and his nose gear went through the fuselage of this other 747, both of them full of people. Just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And you remember there's a voice recorder in that cockpit. He doesn't have to be talking over the radio for him to hear everything in there. It records every sound in that cockpit. When the captain of that airplane that hit that other one, when he started trying to fly, now listen, he's so frightened, his mind is suddenly spaced out. Why does that happen? You're made that way. Your mind will get out of the way for your spirit, because your spirit's where the power is. No power in your mind. Your spirit is where the power is. But I'll tell you what, if it didn't have God's word in it, it won't come out. He said, used God's name in vain, damning the whole situation. And when he said that, he used God's name in vain, and tacked on the end of that, he said, "With all fierceness, we're gonna die."
And they did. Hundreds of them. But there was a guy in the other, in that other airplane that didn't. He jumped up and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And he got out. Got out of the same fire, out of the same crash, out of the same airplane. And he got out and ran off unhurt. Now, what's the difference? Well, the difference, God wasn't any respecter of person. He's not the one that made the difference. It was the stronghold of faith that was in one and the stronghold of fear that was in the other one. And if God's word isn't in there, it won't come out when you need it. Father, we thank you for this message today. And in the name of Jesus, we ask you to cause it to burn into the consciousness of every person in the sound of my voice that's heard this. I'm asking you, God, to give us deeper revelation concerning this and the strength spiritually to do something about it and to carry it out. Now, if you were just seated right there, I'd just lay my hands on you and I'd say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray your blessing on my partner. I pray your blessing on my brother, my sister. I pray your blessing. I pray your presence. I pray your life into this person. Sickness and disease, I rebuke you and I command you to be departed and cast into the sea in Jesus' name. All of the strongholds of wrong speaking and seeds of wrong words, I take the word of God and I rebuke you and cancel you out and I overcome the bad with the good. And in Jesus' name, we set ourselves right now to follow through the rest of our lives and speak God's words of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you be well and you be strong. God bless you. We love you with all of our hearts. This is Kenneth Copeland reminding you again that God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.